Tanner is the Federal Minister for Finance and Deregulation. He is with you on the radio now to discuss the massive $115 billion that has been slashed from government revenues over the next 4 years by the global financial crisis. Lindsay Tanner, are you okay?
I'm okay, Libby. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It must have been a big weekend for the three amigos working this one out.
Of course, you'd recall that we had a statement of budget update in November which showed that we'd estimated loss of about $40 billion in government revenue as a result of the global financial crisis rippling through the world economy and impacting on Australia. Well, now that estimate's $115 billion over 4 years, so that's big numbers in anybody's language.
It is big numbers, but it's not expected numbers, is it, either?
No, it's not. And what it really shows is that the supercharging of the Australian economy from the mining boom over the past 5 or 7 years, which has delivered extraordinary increases in government revenue, is now unravelling. And of course, that has a major negative impact on the budget. And it's just one part of the wide range of negative forces bearing down on the Australian economy. We've had a lot of bad news over the past few weeks. Chinese growth really slowing quite dramatically. All of these things are bad news for jobs and bad news for growth, but the government's committed to fighting back with every weapon at our that we've got available to us in order to ensure that we can ride through these circumstances. It's going to be a tough year, but we're committed to stepping up to the plate.
Parliament goes back tomorrow. It's not so much back to school, but back to the bullpit, I guess, for you guys. Have you got your armour on? Because I know that the opposition want answers as to the amount of the temporary deficit that you guys are talking about.
Well, it's impossible to get a fix on exactly what the opposition stands for or what they're proposing. They seem to stand for inaction most of the time. They suggest that seriously stimulating the economy and trying to support jobs and growth is wrong, that we just should sit back and let all the bad stuff just happen that's flowing in from overseas. And even today, we had Malcolm Turnbull saying that it's not inevitable Australia's going to be in recession, and yet one of his senior front benchers, education spokesman Chris Pyne, said, and I'm quoting here, we are definitely going to be in a recession this year. So the opposition's all over the shop. They'll ask questions, and they're entitled to, and we'll have to answer them. But I think the Australian people are entitled to something more coherent than the random sniping we're getting from them.
So what is the answer? How much will the temporary deficit be? Give me the scoop.
We'll be unveiling more detailed figures. The Prime Minister indicated today, somewhere over the course of this sitting of Parliament, which of course is February, March, so very soon we'll be unveiling the more detailed analysis of all those things and the response that the government's taking. But clearly, as we've indicated before, we stand ready to provide further stimulus to the economy. It's really important that we don't get hung up about the fact that we are being forced into deficit, that we focus on ensuring that we sustain people's jobs, we sustain economic growth, and we don't just sit on the sidelines like the Liberals are proposing and just watch all the bad consequences of this international crisis flow through the Australian economy without putting up a fight. We're going to put up a fight.
So does this mean we don't know how much the temporary deficit is going to be? Yet?
It means that I can't give you figures publicly yet, but clearly we've obviously got some pretty good ideas about some of the details of this, but we're still putting together the final elements of the official report to the nation, essentially. Those are extraordinary, even unprecedented circumstances, Libby, where we've got a huge tidal wave of pressures that's just gradually beating down on the Australian economy, and the news just keeps getting worse. It's very hard to predict the medium-term future from all of these problems in the United States and Europe and Asia. We're very well positioned to fight our way through it. We're in much better shape than almost any other country, but it's still a huge challenge, and we're committed to doing whatever's necessary to sustain growth and jobs. That's the key.
Indeed, the sands just keep shifting, don't they, with the pressures coming from right around the world?
That's right, and these things are inevitably very difficult to read.
So in that case then, Mr. Tanner, how can you be proactive if you're constantly on the back foot reacting to the next thing that happens?
Well, the reality of life in economic management is that you have to respond to what's actually occurring in the economy and to project forward as to what you expect is going to occur in the next 6, 9, 12 months. Now, that's become increasingly difficult because we are in unprecedented circumstances. It doesn't mean we're flying blind. It just means it's a lot harder than usual. And you've got to basically make a judgment call. Now, the Liberal Party are essentially saying that we shouldn't do anything. Things like the efforts we're making to protect the commercial property sector, which if that unraveled would have huge negative consequences. They say, look, you shouldn't be doing anything, just let's see what happens. Well, we don't think Australia can afford to take that risk.
So in times when you don't actually know what you're going to be dealing with, and you are projecting into the future with limited vision, actuarial vision, can you still be brave and make green decisions with respect to infrastructure? I noticed with the second stimulus package that you're planning, you're going to be concentrating on infrastructure. Can you still be innovative and bold with where those infrastructural decisions will happen?
Yes, you can, and I think we'll be judged by a number of angles on this, Libby, and people are entitled to ask what the long-term benefits are as well. So we've got to stimulate short-term activity. We've got to make sure that money's flowing, that people are buying things, that people are investing in the short term. But we've also got to make sure that once all this is over and things return to normal, that people and our children in particular will be able to look and say, well, okay, what do we get for it? So we are engaged in trying to balance the options between short-term stimulus that goes straight into people's pay packets or into their pensions, like in December, with the need to actually invest in infrastructure, and green infrastructure is, you make a perfectly valid point, and improve our productivity. We've got to get both of those elements in our response.
There is still, the jury is still out on the effect and of last year's $10.4 billion economic stimulus. Some say that it just didn't do anything at all.
Look, I think that's a completely absurd response. Clearly, it takes a while to get a clear picture of the impact of something like that, and it's very complex because everybody's different, everybody behaves differently, but there's one fallacy in the public debate about this that I'd like to kill, and that is the idea that if you don't spend this money immediately, that somehow it disappears in a puff of smoke. Inevitably, what happens is that a proportion of that money gets paid down on credit cards, and some of it might be put on a mortgage rather than being spent immediately. But the key thing, of course, is, for example, if you owe $2,000 on your credit card and you get a $2,000 payment from the government you weren't expecting, and you therefore say, well, hey, I'm worried about economic conditions, I'm going to pay off that credit card debt. Well, guess what? You don't have to pay it off twice. So what that means is that money that you earn in your normal job next month, the month after, that you might otherwise have used to pay off that credit card debt, you are now going to spend. So what it will produce and what it has produced is a proportion of immediate spending, a proportion of slightly deferred spending, which is all good value for the economy, and there'll be a degree of just putting some money on the mortgage, but I think overall that'll be a relatively modest proportion of it.
I've received a message from a listener who wants to say, forget about stimulus, what are you going to do about cutting taxes?
Well, one of the things that we have to be very mindful of when the budget's being driven into deficit by those circumstances is to make sure that we have a strategy for returning the budget to surplus, and that we don't actually do things that will make the problem even harder to deal with in the longer term. So what that means is that any relief on the tax front really needs to be focused on the here and now. And the question of longer-term tax relief is something that has to be dealt with at another time. Bear in mind that we've already got tax cuts factored in to this year's budget. So they relate to decisions and election commitments. So there will be tax cuts flowing to some taxpayers arising from this year's budget
but
already.
But none extra.
Well, the big distinction I'm drawing here is between one-off or temporary tax relief, which is one of the options for a stimulus to deal with this huge economic slowdown that's being imported from overseas into our economy. That's one of the legitimate options. Permanent tax cuts are a matter for another debate, and we've got a major review of the entire Australian taxation system underway that's going to gather a head of steam during the course of this year and be dealt with or at least be received toward the end of the year. So that's not off the agenda, but it's not necessarily the way that you deal with a short-term and very dramatic problem that we've got here. Short-term tax relief is one of the possibilities, as is spending, because that gets more money flowing.
Lindsay Tanner, Federal Minister for Finance and Deregulation. We've run out of time, but I thank you for making yourself available tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.